السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا مولانا وحبيبنا قرة أعيننا قائد الغر المحجلين وشفيع المذنبين وسيد ولد آدم ولا فخر محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه من والاه. ثم أما بعد، so الحمد لله, we continue in our series of lessons and lectures on the school of Imam Dar al-Hijra, the eminent Imam of the two abodes of the emigration, Mecca and Medina, Imam Malik ibn Anas رضي الله عنه, in the school of al-Malikiyya. And we're reading from the book Tadrib al-Salik ila Qiraat Aqrab al-Masalik fi Madhhab al-Imam Malik, which is an abridgment of an abridgment of an abridgment. So we're getting the essence of the Maliki school, and inshallah we'll be covering all of the abwab, all of the chapters, and we have covered most of the chapters dealing with ibadat, dealing with acts of worship, and we are still in the midst of the final act of worship that we're looking at here, which is Hajj. And we had explained previously that sometimes when mistakes are made in Hajj, there are certain expiations that need to be done. And we had went over previously the expiations for mistakes concerning the rites of the Hajj or the Nusuk themselves. Now we will look at something called the Fidya, which is looking at for expiations due to violations of the state of Ihram. And we had mentioned that Ihram, both for men and for women, is a state that is entered in by intention. And then there are certain muhtarizat, or there are certain things that one should stay away from while they're in the state of Ihram. But if one does find themselves violating one of these particulars of the Ihram, then there are certain things that can be done to expiate it, inshallah. So, قال المصنف رحمه الله فصل في موجبات الفدية وأحكامها. So this is looking at something called the fidya. So when it's something about the ihram, we call it fidya. When it's something about the rites of the hajj, we call it hadi. And both of them have similar expiations in some cases, which is to sacrifice an animal. And we'll see more about that. So the fidya, or the expiation, he says تجب الفدية لفعل شيء من محرمات الإحرام. So it becomes obligatory to do the expiation for doing something that is considered haram in the state of ihram. So ihram means to enter into the haram, or the state of inviability. So it's a spiritual state, right? And but then it does of course have things associated with it that we should observe. So if one fails to observe these muharramat, these things that one should not observe, should observe, then there are going to be an expiation. So he's going to give us an example of some of these things. كلبس المرأة القفازة والبنقعة لغير خشية فتنة كلها بغرز أو ربط وكلبس الذكر محيطا ما لم ينزعه بقرب. And we had talked about this, I think, in the previous lesson, but briefly. So if a woman wears gloves or wears something to cover her face, other than for a reason that she fears the fitna, so if she fears that there should maybe do some undue harm or harassment, if she doesn't cover her face, then she's allowed to do so. But preferably without securing it, or securing in a way so that it's dead. It comes down over her face without it being tied around her face, so something like around her forehead and coming down from there, or to take like a scarf and to wrap it around her face would be preferable. Although if she does it because she fears of harassment, then either way it's okay. وَكَلَبْسِ الذَّكَرِ مُحِيطًا مَا لَمْ يَنْزَاهُ بِقُرْبٍ. And as we said, for the males, they are to stay away from anything that wraps around the body that is fitted to them. So that includes even rings, and obviously like trousers, a shirt. If they were to take the same shirt and same trousers and not wear them as they're conventionally worn, but to wrap around them, then this would be okay. But once you have worn them in that way, then this is from the muharramat, things that are haram during ihram. So he would have to do a fidya. ما لم يمزعه بقرب. ما لم ينزعه بقرب means as unless he immediately realized it. Unless he immediately, like he made wudu and he had a ring and then he put it on and, oh wait a minute, I can't wear this. Then he takes it off immediately. Otherwise, if he gets on the bus and goes a while and someone goes, oh, you're wearing your ring, you're not supposed to wear that during ihram. Or you're wearing, you know, a shirt or something like that. Then, in this case, they would have to do a fidya or expiation. وإذا لبس المحيطات في آن واحد أو قدم الأعم نفعا كالثوب على السراويل في وقت آخر أو نوى التكرار كفته فدية واحدة وإلا تكررت بموجبها كما إذا أخرج عن الأول قبل الموجب الثاني. So this section is talking about what if I do it more than once, or I do more than one item of clothes. What if I put on a shirt and I put on the trousers, and how does that all work? So he says, فَإِذَا لَبِسَ الْمُحِيطَاتِ فِي آنٍ وَاحِدٍ. If you put them on all at the same time. أَوْ قَدَّمَ الْأَعَمَّ نَفْعًا كَالثَّوْبِ عَلَى السَّرَوِيرِ فِي وَقْتًا آخَرٍ أَوْ نَوَى التِّكْرَارِ كَفَتْهُ فِدْيَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. So three scenarios. So either you put them all at the same time. So for whatever reason, there was some misunderstanding or they forgot and they took off their bashakir, which would be the two towel-like things that you would usually wear, and they put on regular clothes. Maybe they thought they didn't have to do it anymore, whatever the case may be. So they did it all at the same time. Took a shower, did it all at the same time. أو قدم الأعم نفعاً كالثوب على السراويل في وقت آخر. Or you put on the one that is more beneficial in terms of comfort and covering the body. And here he says a thawb, right? A thawb, which would be the upper garment, like a shirt, like jacket. على السراويل. And then he put the trousers on at some later time. أو نوى التكرار. Or that they had an intention just to take them on and off, repeat them. كفته فدية واحدة. Then it's enough that you do one fidya for all of that. So one sacrificial animal, you don't have to do multiple ones. وَإِلَّا, here in their language, وَإِلَّا means, but if, تَكَرَّرَتْ بِمُوجِبِهَا كَمَا إِذَا أَخْرَجَ عَنِ الْأَوَّلِ قَبْلِ الْمُوجِبِ الثَّانِي. But if they were to repeat it without the intention, in other words, repeat it at different times completely, كَمَا إِذَا أَخْرَجَ عَنِ الْأَوَّلِ قَبْلِ الْمُوجِبِ الثَّانِي. Like if you already did the fidya, you slaughtered the animal, and then you're done, but then before you put on the second garment, and then you want to put on the second garment. Well, the one you already did, the sacrificial item that you already did, is not going to work for something that's happening in the future. So you'd have to do another animal. That's what he's saying. وَإِلَّا تَكَرَّرَتْ بِمُوجِبِهَا كَمَا إِذَا أَخْرَجَ عَنْ الْأَوَّلِ قَبْلَ الْمُوجِبِ الثَّانِي. So in this case, if you catch them all at once and then you sacrifice the animal, that's okay before you do one. But if you sacrifice the animal, then you repeat the violation later after sacrificing the animal, then you would have to do another animal. وَيَجِبُ أَيْضًا بِحَلْقٍ أَوْ قَتْلٍ لِأَكْثَرَ مِنْ عَشْرِ شَعَارَاتٍ أَوْ قَمْلَاتٍ أَوْ بِقَلْمِ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ظُفْرٍ. Now there are certain things in terms of bodily a hygiene you're not supposed to do while you're in the state of ihram, because the state of ihram is to come to God, to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of complete impoverishment, spiritual impoverishment. And so tending to these hygienic needs while you're in the state of ihram would be contrary to that. So if you do that, and here he gives a couple of examples. وَيَجِبُ أَيْضًا بِحَلْقٍ. So if you cut your hair or you shave your hair, أو قتل أكثر من عشر شعرات, or you cut more than 10 hairs, he said, أو قملات, or remove the same number of lice in your hair, right, by scratching. وبقلم أكثر من ظفر, or if you cut more than one nail. So the one nail, or the less than 10 or 9 hairs, or the few lice, this is referring to not enough to do a sacrificial animal, because then you might remember, oh wait, I'm not supposed to do that. But if you shave your head, then there's no expiation for that except sacrificing an animal. Or if you cut your hair more than 10 hairs, as he said, أو قملات, kill more than 10 lice, then in this case you have to do the expiation, because you're not supposed to kill any even insects or ants or anything like that, when you're in the state of ihram. وبمس الطيب المؤنث. وبمس الطيب المؤنث. And by touching, coming into contact with feminine perfume. You might ask, well, what does that mean? What's feminine perfume? It doesn't mean the type of perfume that only women wear and then the type men wear. No. Feminine perfume means that which has a fragrant smell. A fragrant smell that's associated with it. So there might be other types of tib, other types of things that are used as an adornment, but they don't have necessarily a fragrant smell to them. They would be considered masculine perfume. So they differentiate between masculine and feminine. Feminine has the fragrant smell. So that would include musk, it would include alderwood, it would include soap that has been perfumed, shampoo, and these are the things that people usually miss. Skin cream that is perfumed, because they don't think about it. They think like perfume, or they think cologne, or they think some type of musk. But all of those things, if you are to touch it, you place it on them, then in this case, you have violated the ihram. وَبِالْإِدِّهَانِ بِمُطَيِّبٍ مُطْلَقًا كَبِغَيْرِهِ لِغَيْرِ ضَرُورَةٍ. And also, we just mentioned this, الْإِدِّهَان بِمُطَيِّبٍ مُطْلَقًا. And using any type of perfumed skin cream, iddihan, like perfumed oil, putting it on the skin, or cream, mutlaqan, right? So it doesn't have to give a fragrance, but if it has some type of perfume to it, it's not just, you know, when you're in the state of ihram, if you're going to take a shower, you just do it with water. Don't use soap that has a fragrance to it. So in this case, iddihan, which is to use any type of oil, whether it's a masculine oil, in other words, it has no discernible sort of sweet fragrance, I should say. It has a fragrance, obviously, but not a sweet fragrance. Then in this case, that also would violate the ihram. كَبِغَيْرِهِ لِغَيْرِ ضَرُورَةٍ. Right, also using something else that's similar to this, another type of cream or oil. لِغَيْرِ ضَرُورَةٍ, however, if it's not necessary. So I would say necessary would be medically necessary. So for example, if someone has eczema or have a skin condition and they have to use this medicinally, it's not something just to, you know, to keep their skin smooth, but it's something they need to use medicinally on doctor's orders, then in this case, that would be a darura, that would be a necessity, and it doesn't violate the ihram. So those are kind of examples. It's not exhaustive because this is a abridgment, mukhtasir. And usually we, you know, if the thing comes up during Hajj or Umrah, or during Hajj, then we would, can, you know, have to look deeper and see if it's a violation or not. But generally speaking, we're supposed to stay away from cutting pulling anything off the body like hairs, removing any sort of dust or filth or anything like that in general. And if you're going to take a shower, do it with water. Don't do it with anything perfumed or shampoo. Don't use cologne. All of these things can be done at the onset of the ihram, by the way. So before you make your intention, if you take the shower, then you put on your bashakir, or you put on your hajj garments, before you pray the two rak'ahs, and before you make the intention, and before you make the talbiyah, you should put on something sweet smelling and musk and cologne and take a shower with shampoo and soap and all those things, because this is prior to the ihram, and you may be in the state of ihram for days. You'll be for days if you go from Yawm al-Tarwiyah, which is the 8th day, and then you have the Yawm Arafah, which is the 9th day, and then the 10th day is the day of Tawaf al-Ifadah. Then that's 2.5-3 days that you're going to be in the ihram. So it's good to do all of those things prior to going into the state of ihram. Now he moves on to the types of fidya, the type of expiations that can be done. وَالْفِدْيَةُ ثَلَاثَةُ أَنْوَاعٍ. So the three types. One, ذَبْحُ نُسُكٍ يُجْزِئُ فِي الْأُضْحِيَةِ وَلَا يَخْتَصُ بِمَكَانٍ أَوْ زَمَانٍ وَلَا يَأْكُلُ مِنْهَا. So the first type is sacrificing an animal, the same type of animal that would be allowed in your udhiyah, which comes in the next chapter, so we'll know about the conditions about that. But generally speaking, it would be an animal, depending on whether it's a sheep or a cow or a camel, or something related to that, like a goat or like a water buffalo, you know, they're in the same category. Then there are certain conditions about age and about suitability and about not being in a state of sickness. So anything that would work for udhiyah, which we'll cover in the next chapter, works for the fidyah. وَلَا يَخْتَصُّ بِمَكَانٍ أَوْ زَمَانٍ. And it doesn't have to be in a particular place or time, unlike the hadi. So the hadi that we talked about in the previous chapter, that's for a violation of the rights of Hajj, not for the ihram of Hajj, has to be done in Mecca or in Mina, one of those two places, and during the time of the Hajj days. However, for a violation of ihram, it could be done anywhere, and it could be done even after the Hajj is over. وَلَا يَأْكُلُ مِنْهَا. And another difference is that you're not supposed to eat from it, unlike the hadi, which you can eat from. This you don't eat from because it's for the expiation of a violation of the ihram. That's the first type. If you can't do that, أَوْ إِطْعَامُ سِتَّةِ مَسَاكِينَ لِكُلِّ مِسْكِينٍ مُدَّانٍ. And then the other option is to do إِطْعَام, and in the Maliki school you have الْخِيَار. You can choose this or that, not in any particular order, or you can feed six needy people. لِكُلِّ مِسْكِينٍ مُدَّانٍ. Every miskin gets a mud, min mud the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is about 3 cups, 2¾ cups. So we're talking about 5 to 6 cups of something of a staple food, like rice, like beans, anything like that. أَوْ صِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ. Or to fast 3 days. Those are the three types. وَفِي الْعَشْرِ مِنَ الشَّعَرِ أَوْ الْقَمْلِ فَدُونْ حَفْنَةٌ مِنْ طَعَامٍ. And if you do something very minor, like we mentioned earlier, so like less than 10 hairs or less than 10 lice, فَدُونْ or less, فَحَفْنَةٌ مِنْ طَعَامٍ. Well, حَفْنَة is just like a single meal for a needy person. So less than the مُدَّان, less than the 2 mud. وَمَنْ جَامَعَ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَحْرَمْ أو خرج منه مني باستدعاء قبل يوم النحر أو فيه قبل الرمي والإفاضة فسد حجه. أعاذ الله من ذلك والله أعلم. Here he brings up, well, how do you completely ruin the Hajj and you can't even expiate for it and you have to do it over again? Following things. من جامع بعد أن أحرم. Whoever has sexual intercourse after the إحرام. أو خرج منه مني باستدعاء. Or they ejaculated by something they did purposefully. قَبْلَ يَوْمَ النَّحْرِ. So after the ihram, قَبْلَ يَوْمَ النَّحْرِ, before the day of Nahr, which is the 10th day, which is the day of Ifada. Or أَوْ فِيهِ قَبْلَ الرَّمِّ وَالْإِفَادَ. Or during the day of the Nahr, of the sacrifice, but before they do the رَمِّ الْعَقَبَ, before they stone the last, the large pillar, the great big pillar. أَوْ الْإِفَادَ, or before they do Tawaf الْإِفَادَ. فَسَدَ حَجُّ. Then the Hajj is fasid, which means unacceptable. Wallahu a'lam. However, in this case, they would continue to do all the rest of the manasik, which means al-mabit in Mina, staying in Mina, but they would have to come back when they can to do that Hajj over. So that completes the Hajj, and the next chapter, somewhat related, Kitab al-Udhiyya wal-Aqiqah. كتاب الأضحية والعقيقة. So أضحية means sacrifice, and this is going to be for people who are not in Hajj. So people who are in Hajj, their sacrifice is the hadi, right? We call it the sacrificial hadi, which is the sacrificial animal in Hajj for people in Hajj. And for people not in Hajj, if they have the means, they do something called الأضحية, which also means sacrificial animal. And the عقيقة is also a type of sacrificing of an animal, a sheep usually, and that's on the occasion of a birth, of having a newborn. So he says, rahimahullah, تُسَنُّ الْأُضْحِيَةُ لِحُرٍ غَيْرِ حَاجٍ إِنْ كَانَتْ لَا تُجْحِفُ بِنَفَقَتِهِ فَيُضَحِّي عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَعَمَّنْ تَلْزَمُهُ نَفَقَتُهُ بِالْقَرَابَةِ فَإِنْ أَشْرَكَهُمْ فِي أُضْحِيَّتِهِ حَصَرَتِ السُّنَّةُ لِلْجَمِيعِ. So it is sunnah, so here it's a strong sunnah in the Maliki school. الأضحية, to sacrifice during the days of Eid. لِحُرٍ, يعني for someone here in pre-modern Islam, there are people who were in a state of bondage. They didn't have to do it, or it wasn't sunnah for them, but for someone who wasn't, which is in our case today, doesn't exist anymore. So for everyone who has the ability, it is a sunnah, غير حاج, but not for the person who is in Hajj. As we said, their sunnah is al-hadi. It's called something else. إن كانت لا تجحف بنفقته, right? If it's not going to severely affect him financially. So you're of the means where you can sacrifice an animal and it's not going to be burdensome upon you financially. فيضحي عن نفسه. So you do the udhiya on your own behalf. وعمن تلزمه نفقته بالقرابة. And all those who are of your relatives who, and this is speaking to men, who are required to maintain their upkeep. So that would be your children, your wife, so forth, people living with you in your household. فِنْ أَشْرَكَهُمْ فِي أُضْحِيَتِهِ حَصَلَتْ السُنَّةُ لِلْجَمِيعِ. So if he makes the intention that they are also included in his udhiyah, then they will have also the sunnah for all of them. There's going to be something related to this coming up. I'm not going to mention it now, but when it comes, there's a difference between what people might be thinking. وَإِنَّمَا يُجْزِئُ مِنَ الضَّأْنِ مَا دَخَلَ فِي السَّنَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ وَمِنْ مَعَزٍ مَا تَجَاوَزَهَا بِشَهْرَيْنِ أَوْ ثَنِي بَقَرٍ دَخَلَ فِي الرَّابِعَةِ أَوْ ثَنِي إِبْنٍ دَخَلَ فِي السَّادِسَةِ. Now here he's talking about the animals that can be sacrificed, specifically their ages. He said it's يُجْزِئُ. So he didn't say يجوز, for those who are interested in Arabic. يُجْزِئُ means not as permissible, but it is sufficient, or it is will be sufficient to fulfill the sunnah of udhiyah. In other words, compulsory, if it's a da'an, da'an means sheep, dakhala fi sana athaniya, that is past 1 year of age. However, many of the maliki ulama took this condition in different ways. Some of them said if it is close to a year, then it is better. And it doesn't have to have reached a year. Most of the time, when you actually go do it, you'll find that most of the lambs there have not reached a year yet. They'll probably be in the 7, 8, 9 month range. And most of the Maliki ulama, including Ad-Dardir, said that that's okay, that they can be from 6 months onwards is fine, specifically for the sheep. وَمِنْ مَعَزٍ مَا تَجَاوَزَهَا بِشَهْرَيْنِ. In other words, for the goat, that which has passed a year by 2 months or so. Same rules for the goat, if it's kind of the right size, around a year, a little less is okay. أَوْ ثَيْنِي بَقَرٍ دَخَلَ فِي الرَّابِعَةِ. Or a cow that is entering in its fourth year, so that it's already 3 years old. أَوْ ثَيْنِي إِبْلٍ دَخَلَ فِي السَّادِسَةِ. Or a camel that has passed five and is entering into six. ويدخل وقتها بفراغ الإمام من الصلاة والخطبة بالنسبة له. Now in terms of the time, when do you do it? يدخل وقتها بفراغ الإمام من الصلاة. So Muslims pray the Salat al-Eid on the day of Eid al-Adha, and then if they go in a prayer, and then the Imam does the prayer first and does the khutbah, and then they finish with the khutbah, then this is the time where it now becomes permissible to do the udhiyah. So after Salat al-Eid. وَيَدْخُلُ وَقْتُهَا بِفَرَاغِ الْإِمَامِ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالْخُطْبَةِ بِالنِّسْبَةِ لَهُ. أَمَّا لِغَيْرِهِ فَبَعْدَ فَرَاغِهِ مِنْ أُضْحِيَتِهِ إِنْ أَبْرَزَهَا وَإِلَّا تَحَرَّ فَرَاغَهُ مِنْ ذَبْحِهَا. So if it's the Imam himself, he can do it as soon as he's finished with the prayer. If it's for the congregants, then they wait for the Imam to do his sacrifice. If he doesn't do a sacrifice, so they don't know he did a sacrifice, he doesn't show them he did or did not, then they wait a suitable amount of time for however long it would have taken to him to sacrifice right after the prayer, so maybe like half an hour or so. And most people usually wait that long anyway. ويستمر وقتها إلى غروب الشمس من اليوم الثالث. And its time extends until sunset of the third day. So the third day after Eid al-Adha. So you have the day of Eid al-Adha, then the second, the third, and the fourth day. وَأَوَّلَهُ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ آخِرِ الَّذِي قَبْلَهُ. And the beginning one, the beginning of the day, is better than doing it later in the second day. So if you're going to do it in the morning of the first day, that's ideal. And then the afternoon of the first day is second best. And then the morning of the second day is third best. And then the morning of the third day is better than the afternoon of the second day. And then the morning of the fourth day, the morning of the third day is better than the afternoon of the second day. وهكذا. So it's always better to do it in the morning. Imam Malik was of the opinion that the udhiyah, any sacrificing that is for ritual purpose, should always be done during the day before Maghrib, before sunset. And his interpretation of the ayah, في أيام معلومات, أيام, يوم means day, not night. So he, that was his interpretation. وَالنَّهَارُ شَرْطٌ لَهَا, as we just mentioned. وَالنَّهَارُ شَرْطٌ لَهَا. So it's a condition of its validity that one does it during the day before Maghrib, and ideally before Zawal, before Dhuhr. So the time of Duha. وَالْأَفْضَلُ الْفَحْلُ ثُمَّ الْخَصِي. And in terms of the type of animal, gender, الْأَفْضَلُ الْفَحْلُ, which is the male. ثُمَّ الْخَصِي, then the castrated male. وَالْبَقَرُ تَلِي الْغَنَمُ, and غَنَمُ, which are sheep, and goats, are better than cows. وَهِيَ فِي الْبَقَرِ وَالْإِبْلِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ التَّرْتِيبِ, and also cows are better than camels. This is opposite what we saw في الهدي. المقصود في الهدي كثرة اللحم. In the hadi, which is more for distribution to people, then the objective is the more meat. So the more meat is in the camel than in the cow, and then more meat is in the cow than in the sheep or the goat. But for udhiya, for those who are outside of Hajj and making the sacrifice, then we're looking at tibat al-laham, we're looking at the quality of meat, and it's generally acknowledged that the quality of sheep meat is better than cow, and cow is better than camel. وَلَا تَسِحُّ الشِّرْكَةُ فِي ثَمَانِهَا وَفِي الثَّوَابِ تَصِحُّ لِقَرِيبٍ فِي نَفَقَتِهِ وَمَسْكَنِهِ. So this is something the Maliki Madhab has that's different from some of the other schools you might have heard about, which is لَا تَصِحُّ الشِّرْكَةُ فِي ثَمَانِهَا. So you cannot partner up with someone else in paying for the sacrificial animal. So it should be done by an individual. However, if there are other people who are in your household, as we said, you can make the intention for their reward, but not that they actually pay at the same time as you. So your neighbor, if you say, can we go halvesies on, I pay half and you pay half of the sheep or the cow, this is not allowed in the Maliki school. Everyone has to do for themselves, and in the household members, if they make the intention, inshallah, they get the reward too. والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم والحمد لله رب العالمين.